traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida. Today is our Kentucky Derby and our Kentucky Oaks Show. What everybody's been pointing for all year long. We're excited about it because we've got quite a few horses from our Palm Beach Downs training facility that are running. We've got one in the Oaks, and we got three in the Derby. So it's looking pretty good there at Churchill. Got a lot of things going on there. Going to have 150,000 people there to watch the Derby. Probably have over 100,000 for the Kentucky Oaks that'll be there. And we were looking at the weather forecast in Louisville. It's partly cloudy, high of 77, low of 56, zero chance of rain. And tomorrow, Derby Day, partly sunny, high of 77, low of 65, chance of rain zero. So the weather forecast for tomorrow looks good for today. Beautiful day today there in Louisville at Churchill Downs. And I wish you could be there to see it. We got a lot of things to talk about today. And all year long, we've been talking about, the horse industry and equine information and, things of that nature and how important it is to our business. For example, NBC is going to have Derby Day coverage, and they've got coverage of the Oaks today on USA Network. And NBC and Peacock. And I tell you, it's very important to get our product out there in a good form. And with companies like NBC and USA Data Network, that type of thing, it really makes it a lot nicer for us because we can follow the people that, that we see, whether it's horse racing or horse shows or sales or, what have you. It's very important. And after a long run by ABC Sports, NBC Sports televised all three races from 2001 to 2004. The Belmont went to ESPN and ABC on 2005. And then the rest was carried over to, the Preakness and the Derby to NBC. So we have bidding wars literally now for all of our equestrian events that are coming up. It's kind of exciting to see that because it means good things are happening for the horse industry. Like I said, be it racing or shows or what have you. And that's one of the things that we were glad to see NBC come out. We don't know after this season who's going to have what. It'll be up to the different racetracks to see if they can form a triple crown pack, you might say, to get all three of the races. And then we've got a lot of major races during the season at all the tracks that attract the best horses in the world. And that's what we're going to find out here as soon as this triple crown series is over. We're going to find out who's going to get that package. Hopefully it'll really benefit the horsemen. Will be coming up. But, the Kentucky Derby is a tradition, a long-standing tradition. This is the 149th year that they've had the Kentucky Derby. And I tell you, it's a great feeling to go to the Derby. If you could get there and see the Derby, be a part of it, just the week-long things that they have there, Derby Week, it's good for the community. It's good for people all across the country to travel and visit and see. And there's a lot of things that goes on the week before the Kentucky Derby. You have the in training sales at Keeneland on the 30th of April. They just had that. They had the three-day Rolex. They've got all kinds of things going on in Lexington and Louisville. And I tell you, it's hard to get a hotel room now. They're telling me that the closest rooms you can get are like Cincinnati and Nashville and Indianapolis. And that's a long way, to get there to go to the Derby. But the people are doing it, You know, they're really doing it. And when you get to the Derby, you can expect a lot of things. For example, they get 150,000 people that will be there this year in the infield and in the grandstands. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. And a lot of people are getting that off their bucket list for the first Saturday in May. You know, I tell you, I think it's great because when you go there to the Derby, Preakness and the Belmont, or, you know, up to Saratoga, nobody's talking politics. Nobody's talking hate. Nobody's talking nothing bad. You know, it's all good, and you're making a lot of friends. And a lot of people that I know go to the Derby, and they make friends, and then next thing you know, they come back, and they're having a Derby party at their house or at their friend's house, or they're traveling from one town to another to see their friends about, you know, about the Derby. You know, it's just really great. And when you go to the Derby, you got to think about fashion and comfort, and, you know, what you're going to wear. You know, girls want to wear flat shoes, that's for sure. You know, that type of thing. And then if it rains, it rains. You know, that's the way I look at it. You take a 99-cent poncho in with you, and if you get wet, you get wet. You know, it's no big deal, you know, to do that. Just keep your program and your wallet dry. That's all you got to worry about when you go there. And so I've always said, don't even think about the weather. You know, if you're going to let the weather ruin your stay there or your fun there, then don't go. You know, don't go. Now, you got to think about it like today. There are going to be a lot of people coming out of Churchill Downs that are getting sunburned. You know, you could sell a 99-cent vest, poncho, whatever you want to call them. They got them there. And you can get you a 99-cent tube of suntan lotion to help you not get burnt so bad. Security there when you're going in, it's pretty normal. They don't want any purses larger than 1 foot or 12 inches in any dimension. Cameras with detachable lenses, camcorders, and laptop computers, can't take them. They don't want those in there. Make sure you always have your ticket handy. Know where you park your car at. Just, you know, those are the kind of things that you do. And one of the things, the biggest tip I can give you, if they have you got to have a mint julep when you're there. Sometimes you have three or four. But you got to remember, they're made out of glass, and you don't want to get a mint julep right off the bat because you got to carry a glass around, and a lot of people drop those glasses, you know, or they get broke. So if you're going to get a mint julep, get it, you know, a little prior to or just right after the Derby so that you can take it out with you and you don't have a chance of breaking it, you know, or anything like that. The people at Churchill are really good. They got a lot of good information, a lot of good help people there. And I say the help people, and they're the ones that help you. And all you got to do is ask for help people, and they'll steer you in the right direction. The cellular and Wi-Fi service, like any major sporting event, this sheer number of people that are going to be there at the facility can make cellular service unpredictable. While our facility has made considerable upgrades, it's still going to be difficult to get your, you know, cell service out of there, or your Wi-Fi service. And then just remember one thing: cash is king there. They have ATMs and all, but sometimes there's such a big line there, it makes it tough. And so that's just a few of the little hints that we have there for, you know, Derby Day. And then, you know, it's kind of funny. We're not even through Derby yet, and they're already starting to talk about the Preakness, you know, planning for the Preakness, which is a great thing to go to. My suggestion is if you do like horses and you do like to, you know, travel a little bit, the Triple Crowns is a great series. It starts with the Derby the first Saturday in May, and then 2 weeks from tomorrow, they'll have the Preakness in Baltimore. And then 3 weeks from from the Preakness they have, the Belmont Stakes in New York. And I'd always suggest that if you ever want to really do yourself a favor, try the Triple Crown. Make a plan. Make a plan for your summer vacations, you know, for the summer. It's really great to do. And what I like about it is you can follow the horse that wins the Derby to Pimlico. And if he can win at Pimlico, then you might be able to see a Triple Crown winner like we've had here recently in the past. It's really a kind of a good thing to do, you know, when they come in into that. And speaking, you know, of the Triple Crown, literally, we are talking about horses for the 2024 Kentucky Derby. That's the 150th Kentucky Derby. And Churchill is planning some major, major events for the 150th Kentucky Derby. They did a lot of remodeling and changed the facilities around, and it's a first-class facility, which it always was. But they've added kind of like a European flair to it, more seating, more of everything. And it's really good when you go there. You're not on, I mean, you're next to each other. There are a lot of people, 150,000 there. But it doesn't seem like you're on top of each other, you know, when you're there. It's all spaced out, and there's plenty of betting windows, plenty of restrooms, plenty of concession stands. There's just everything. There's just plenty of everything there. And so Churchill's really done a good job. My hat's off to them. And they're just making it better and better every year, the people at Churchill. You know, but like I said, we're literally starting off you know, with the two-year-olds now, you know, we'll have the jockey club will be coming up here. We'll have quite a few good races at Churchill for two-year-olds, but the two important ones are the jockey club and the Iroquois. The Iroquois is where you start earning your first points for next year's Kentucky Derby. And so, you know, that's coming up here in September. They'll have it September 17th, I believe it is, somewhere along in there is when they'll have that. And so we've made it through the last half of the winter. We had the Florida Derby, the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, Arkansas Derby, Louisiana Derby, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, Tampa Bay Derby, Lexington Stakes, Sunland Park Derby, and a UAE Derby. And that's how they get there. Those are the final prep races for the Derby, and it gets real exciting because, you know, you never do know who's going to run and how they're going to run. Now, if you go to IENTV.org on here, down, if you scroll down to the bottom of the thing, you'll see a segment. It's called How They Get There, and this is a little deal that I developed to keep and follow the horses for the 2023 Kentucky Derby and the 2024 Kentucky Derby. The journey starts with the owners, and you're going to see a lot of interviews on NBC and USA Network with the owners. That's where it all starts with. We have the trainer on there, like Todd Pletcher, interviews with him and how he got there with his three horses. We have Brookledge Transportation, and you'll see how they get transported to the Derby. We have the blacksmith, and you see how they get the shoes and when they get the shoes and, you know, what they do with the shoes. We have the feed company, how they all are fed. We have the equine sales. You know, maybe an owner, instead of breeding one and having it at home, he goes to the sales and buys one. And then we have all the Kentucky Derby prep races from September right on up until the last race, which would be the Lexington and at Keeneland. And that's the last one to get in. So you can keep a count on who's getting what and doing what. And then we find out how they decide to run in the Derby is what the owners have to do. And it's quite interesting to see what they go through and how they, you know, to do what they got to do. This year, it was a hard-fought schedule. The horse, Todd Pletcher's horse, Forte, ended up with 190 points. Practical Move had 160. Angel of Empire had 154. Capit Trice had 150. Two Fills, which should be the second favorite in this year's Derby, ended up with 123. And then, you know, it kind of goes on down from there with them. So it was interesting how these trainers had to plan their season. And one of the things that we were talking about last week was about the weather. You never know what you're going to get weather-wise in the first Saturday in May in Kentucky. And a lot of the guys that were in New Orleans at the fairgrounds, they had a lot of rain, cool weather, cold weather. Hot Springs was really cold this year, a lot of rain. Out in California, they had winds, and they had a lot of rain. They actually had to stop training for a few days there in California to because of the weather conditions. And so those are the kind of things that you look for. All the tracks are different surface-wise. Like Belmont, they call it the Big Sandy. And the reason they do that is they got a lot of sand in the dirt. Then you get to a place like Churchill. Churchill's got is a sandy surface, but not like it is at Belmont. They got a lot of clay in it. So, you know, your horses can move around. And if you get a little wet track there, it can be kind of slickery, as they call it, when it rains there at Churchill. And Pimlico is kind of in between the Belmont and Churchill. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come in there, you know, and to play into it. So having said that, with all these things that are involved, there's a lot of things involved. And some of the setbacks that we're going to talk about now, I don't like to talk about, but it is all part of the horse racing. We have Contour, Practical Move, and Lord Miles have all been scratched from the 2023 Kentucky Derby. There's a lot of things going on at Churchill, and they're keeping the racing at a high level. And they don't want any horses to go down. They have a lot of different things why they were going down. You know, for example, we're talking about Practical Move. He had a temperature, came up, and was not really on his game. So Tim Yankton noted that the horse had an elevated temperature, so they were going to scratch the horse. And then the next horse that was scratched was Lord Miles due to a suspension handed down by Churchill Downs, the trainer Safi Joseph Jr., following a highly unusual sudden death of his horses. In a statement from the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Board of Stewards said as follows: "For the betterment of racing, the health and welfare of our equine athletes, and the safety of our jockeys, all horses trained by Safi Joseph Jr. were scratched effective immediately and until further notice. The action was taken in consultation with Mr. Joseph and includes Lord Miles, who entered the 149th running of the Kentucky Derby." So what's happened is that we've had a few problems with horses either becoming sick or, you know, breaking down or being medicated, you know, that type of thing. And so that's what happened in that situation. It's under investigation. They're going to find out what happened to it so that we can know, you know, exactly what we're dealing with. And thank goodness they have started the investigation before anything happened to any of the horses. You know, so we'll know more next week about it, and it'll be on the news. But, you know, we're looking all together. You know, this year, four plus horses that have scratched from the Derby for one reason or the other. You know, and that's what I like about the commissions, the racing commissions. They're on top of this. They don't want to see any horses hurt. They don't want to see any jockeys hurt. You know, they just want to see, you know, that it's all safe and good product that they're doing. And we'll constantly be reporting on this, you know, this year. And a lot of times they don't say anything. A lot of the news outlets, you know, they don't say anything about things that happen like this. But this year, you know, we talk about it. You know, Practical Move, they came out the other day and said he was the scratch, and the reason Tim Yankton, the trainer, plans to scratch Practical Move from the Derby. He was a Santa Anita Derby winner. He's the son of Practical Joke. And Thursday morning, he was a little bit off, and so, you know, they took him out. And that's good to see, you know, trainers looking for the better part and betterment of their horse. And those are the things that are behind the scenes that you don't get and that you don't hear, you know, with them. So, just so you know, it's tough to get to the Derby. So now we're going through colds and medication, reactions, and we're going through cold weather and everything. And then, and thank God, a very nice horse verifying it's in the Derby. He was uninjured after he sent his rider to the ground during a morning workout. Trainer Brad Cox said Exerizer, his exercise rider suffered a separated shoulder in the fall, but otherwise was okay. So, you know, the rider came out okay. The horse came out okay. And so, you know, that's going to give, you know, the trainer, kind of Brad Cox, kind of a scary feeling. You work all year long to, you know, get somewhere. And, you know, then all of a sudden they run off in the morning 2 days before the Derby. Hurt your exercise rider, you know, but thank goodness rider and horse were okay, and the outrider pulled the horse up, and it was just a little extra work that he got, before the Derby. I have a hard time trying to explain to people that the pressures that you have on you when you're in the Derby. You know, like I said, you don't know when that phone's going to ring and say, hey, you know, we need to vet. Your horse is sick. He got hurt. You know, it's a 24/7 until you get to the Derby. Now, a lot of times a trainer will know during the journey to the Kentucky Derby. He'll know, oh, man, you know, he ran bad in the Arkansas Derby or the Southwest Stakes, or, you know, he ran bad down at New Orleans or the Arkansas Derby and all. And so when that happens, you know, you got to be realistic and say, well, do I keep him on the road to the Derby? And most trainers do. They say, you know, we plan to go to the Derby. We hope to go to the Derby, but we might not get there in a very fashionable way, such as winning like the Louisiana Derby, the Arkansas Derby. You know, the major races, you might have to hunt and peck and get there, running lesser races. But you still got to remember you got to get the points for the Kentucky Derby. And that's very important, too. So the second train of thought is if you're not doing good, you know, if you can't win the big races leading up to the Derby, but you're still getting points, you start thinking about what races could I possibly win? And what races could I run second or third in to get the points? So, you know, you're looking at that. And there's just so many things that go on, you know, with it here. You know, I tell you, you know, this time of year, it's kind of like, and I'm not kidding because I've been in this situation before with the people that I work for. You're hoping, you're waiting for the post-position draw. And then let's say you don't get in or, you know, unfortunately, you have an unfortunate setback. And let me tell you, sometimes it's relief. you know, you go, whew, you know, we'll start looking for the Preakness. And there's a trainer, Chad Brown, and he's a great guy. He's sitting in there. He has a horse named Blazing Sevens. He's going to bypass the Kentucky Derby at Churchill and point him towards Blazing Sevens, the Preakness Stakes. Blazing Sevens was 17th in the road for the Kentucky Derby on the leaderboard with 46 points. The top 23-year-olds qualify for the race with his defection of Jason Throat and moves him up to 20. So when Chad got to evaluating the horse and everything, this is back on the 23rd of April, Chad Brown told the Daily Racing Forum, from April 23rd, I just feel Blazing Sevens ran out of time. Out of gas, you know, just out of time. He wasn't right where Chad wanted him at, you know, so they were trying to get him in the right spot there that he was be able to run and possibly win. And so what they decided to do with Blazing Seven was continue on training like he were in the Triple Crown races. So now he'll have a fresh horse going into this year's Preakness Stakes. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. You want to win the Derby, but you don't know if you can, you know. That's the hard part. That's the real hard part on it. So see what happens, you know, with that. And I tell you, the Derby's not even over yet. And I got up this morning and I looked on my new press releases, and I thought maybe I was still asleep. I said, oh my goodness, I said, I can't understand this, and so I had to check again, you know, what they'd given me. And let me tell you, it was interesting. The Derby's not even been run yet. Forte favored in the inaugural Preakness future wager betting. This is future wagering. And they've got him, Forte. Hopefully he can win the Derby. But if he can't, you know, he go on to the Preakness and maybe win it. But they got him as the favorite. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, holy cow. These are horses that are in the Derby. The Preakness future wager field with odds of Forte, 4-1. Taffet Trice, 6-1. All other three-year-olds, 8-1. They have Practical Move at 10-1, Angel of the Empire 12-1. Let's see here, and then the line, it just goes on and on. They're all her horses that are running in the Derby, and so Blazing Sevens is at 50-1. So what's going to be interesting is I've got these all marked down. I'll have them on the website, and we'll see how many of the horses out of the Derby literally go run in the Preakness. A lot of times the Preakness field is not, you know, very big. It's not set up very big. And this year, I think we're going to have a lot of horses going on to the Preakness. We'll see a full field in the Preakness because that's just the way, you know, I think it's going to come up there. People are going to be, hey, you know, we may not have won the Derby, but we're going to try to win the Preakness or the Belmont, you know, so they've changed their training release and everything. So, you know, that's tough. We're going to look here at right now. It's the Forte on top in closing Derby dozen shuffle here. Forte finished at the end of the season for trainer Todd Pletcher and Repo Stable. He finished at the top of the list. You know, he is a good-looking horse. He's very athletic. Got a good post position this year. Second in the Derby dozen this year in final poll was Angel of Empire. He's a really nice horse. He's training well. Brad Cox is his trainer. Had him in New Orleans, you know, most of the winter and the fall, and so he's really looking good. He ran so, I think. All year long. He was always there. He did what he had to do to win. And that's what I like to see in a horse. a horse that can do that. He's really good. We have Verifying down on the list here. Another Brad Cox horse, really good horse. He did very good in the Bluegrass Stakes. He could win. He could win the Derby this year. Now we got Tappet Trice, trained also by Todd Pletcher. He's looking good. Practical Moves skipping over and coming to the Preakness. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see this year's Derby. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're probably going to see the most competitive Kentucky Derby in recent years. I think you're going to see four or five horses get up there, and I think it's going to be four or five horses at the wire. It's got who's got the, you know, the stamina, who's got the speed, who's got the strength. And they always say that at Churchill Downs, the first time you run down the stretch, the home stretch, is your horse running. The second time you run down the stretch, it's your mom and dad that's running, the sire and the mare. And that is so true. That is so true. And for example, like today, had Rich Strike that won the Derby last year. He's a nice horse. But he was in a stakes race there in the Ali Sheba there at Churchill, 5-6 horse race. And he broke out of the gate and he chased them the whole way around. And, you know, it just goes to show you that every horse has his race. And last year it was Rich Strike in the Derby. And so we're going to see what he's going to do this year, if he does any good, you know, making a run at him, you know, through the rest of the year for older horses. It'll be really interesting. And whoever wins the Derby this year, you know, we'll see where he goes from here and what he has to do. But, you know, just show you the longest shot in Derby, and Derby history comes up, and he wins the Derby last year, and it was wild. He was on the outside looking in. Scratched Horse got him into the Derby, you know, and so now we got Scratched Horses, you know, four today and four tomorrow for the Derby. Could one of those four be a Rich Strike and come up as a long shot and win the Derby? Very well could be. Very well could be. And like we've been talking about before here in the, you know, in the show, we're talking about the rain. And it rained good here at Churchill's. Kentucky Derby horses take it easy in a slop at Churchill. Overnight rain that lingered through early morning and hours left Churchill Downs track sloppy. That was on April 28th. And, you know, I tell you, it's scary because sometimes you don't know if they're going to like it, or if they're not going to like it, or if they do like it. And I think what's happened here is the horses have really got a good shot of weather conditions. Like I said, the rain is not going to rain at Churchill tomorrow, today or tomorrow. So we're going to see how these horses are going to fit on that track. Is what we're going to do. And we're going to say, hey, if it rains, those horses were lucky that we're in Oakland and New Orleans. But if it's a fast track, and Churchill's as a track is got a lot of sand in it, but it's also got a lot of clay in it. And when the track gets heated up, it gets really quick. It gets really fast. If it were to rain, I think it would be to advantage to the horses that were down south. But if it doesn't rain, I think the advantage is going to be to the horses that are from Santa Anita and from Florida. I think that's what's going to happen, you know, with them. But the horses have all been working good and they're looking good. And I just hope the Derby Day is good. The track is good. And we don't have any more incidents like that we've had before, you know, here in the Derby. So, the works. The last time all these horses worked were pretty much at Churchill. Now some worked away from Churchill, and some decided to stay where they were at, work there and then come in. So little training philosophy there, and I think the works were pretty good. I really did. And like I said, different trainers train different ways. Notable contenders with the average of a 12 to 1 morning line has the highest average is 12 and a half. He's a nice horse. That's Forte. He was riding along a good road that Todd Pletcher knows how to go down. A practical move. He was a very, very fast horse out in Santa Anita. Really looked good. Worked 5 furlongs in 59 and 3, which is good. So, you know, East Coast, West Coast, and then South. We'll see what they did here. I tell you, I think none of them, just looking at this, none of them really worked good. They worked, but I don't know how much of it was nerves, how much of it was, luck. I don't know how much of it the trainer says, make it look good, but don't take him fast, you know, that type of thing. In the distance that they had to go, it's all kind of different, you know, there with them. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I couldn't get by and talk to any of the exercise riders, so it was tough. In the weeks and months, days leading into the 2023 Kentucky Derby, horse racing fans, you'll read so much about these three-year-olds that it'll make your head spin. I tell you, when they started nicknaming the horses, that's when you know you got a good horse. You really do. And a lot of people don't like to nickname them because it comes back. Now, like I know there was a lady that they named a horse. Her husband wanted to name a horse after them, to carry on the family name. And it was funny. They sat there and they said his name was Yoder. And so they named the horse Mr. Redoy. And that was after their name spelled backwards. And so it was really interesting to see, how that went, with them. Very, very different. Very different. And I said to myself, I said, well, if you don't want to name a horse after yourself, you know, and you can't change your name backwards. So, what do you do? You know, how do you do that? Like Miller, mine would be really, real interesting and different. So, but that's all goes in the name. And speaking of the names that we were talking about, a lot of times you get in a barn, you get your horses in and you name them, you give them a nickname, a barn name, as we call it. They do this with all breeds of horses and everything. In the months and weeks leading into the Kentucky Derby, horse racing fans will have much of their three-year-olds in their terms and accomplishments, figure ratings, speed ratings, trainers, and jockeys. Sometimes fans emotionally get involved with the horse by giving them a nickname. For example, Angel of Empire. It's a real nice horse. Paid $70,000 for him. And his nickname in a barn is named after after Bradley Cooper. And I said, come on, that's different. Conator, no nickname on him. Said he just sent out it would be his niche, I guess, in the barn. That we have Jace's Road, They just call him Jace for short. Tappet Trice is called TT. He does not like standing out on the track. When he gets on the track, he likes to go. He wants to keep moving when he gets on the track. King's Barn, he doesn't have one yet. Sometimes it gets shortened to King. And so they said, that's no big deal, you know, to do that. And they start talking about all the little things that they do when they're, you know, when they're in the barn, things like they might bite, you know, and I know a girl's got a horse that bites at you, and they call him Nipper. And so you got to be careful and watch out for them. So, it's just kind of a tough way to go. And all year long, it has been the road to get there, how they get there. You know, we're looking at weather. We're looking at trainers that have drugged their horses. We're looking at a lot of different things, you know, that they've done. So, you know, we're finally down to it. And we're here to where we're down to the Oaks Day. And today, the Kentucky Oaks is a beautiful, beautiful day for the Kentucky Oaks. And the ladies are going to get out on there. They're going a mile and an eighth on the dirt for $1,250,000. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, who comes up with the win on this. There's a lot that I could tell you about, but I physically didn't get to see it. But they've got some nice horses in there. The one horse that I really like, Gambling Girl, she's going to be nice. We have Wonder Wheel with Jose Joel Rosario up. Botanical's always been kind of an interesting horse for me. Doesn't race very well, but recovers very, very good. So we'll know who might do that in there this week. I tell you, this is wide open. There's a nice horse in there, and she will be right on top of them. And that is a horse by the name of Allie's Look. Allie's Look, trained by Brand Cox. Really good horse. Very, very good horse. Got a full field of 14. I'll be running. Post time will be at 5:51. You can go to IEN and take a look at it and see it. If you can't get anywhere, you can get it on your cell phone, your iPhone, get it on everything. And then we come to the Derby tomorrow. You can go to the website tomorrow. You'll see a lot of things in the Derby that we don't have on today. For example, you're going to see how they make the garland and roses on their website. You're going to just see a little bit of everything tomorrow in here. But the Kentucky Derby, its post time is 6:57. And that's going to be one heck of a race there. And I'll tell you why. And this is what starts it. Everybody gets into a rhythm going over to take their horses over for the races on that day or like today. And so what happened with this is we've got the Derby going off in the afternoon around 6:57. And that's kind of late in the day, you know, and the sun's starting to set. And the horses are starting to think, you know, why did I get taken off my field? My feed so early. And I said, well, here's the reason why. Post time is at 6:57, and you normally eat at 4:30. We pull the feed from them at noon and water from them around 2, and then, you know, we try to get into the race. And they know something's going on, you know, but they just don't know what. And I know every one of those horses could say, hey, come on, guys. We're normally racing these big races at 5:30 in the afternoon. What do you mean 6:57? And, you know, it's all those things, and like we're saying all year long, it's a combination of weather, you know, geographical location. It's a combination of a lot of things, you know, but then when you're in your normal routine and now you get off of it a little bit, you know, you got to go do a lot of things to the horse to keep him busy, you know, so that don't get too excited and start stomping their feet and say, where's my dinner? You know, that's what you're looking at. You know, and now we're going for a $3 million purse here that we're going through. Going to be interesting to see what's going on with these guys. So in the Derby, we got breaking from post position one. We got hit show, a 3-year-old colt trained by Brad Cox, and he's carrying 126 pounds, which all these jockeys will carry this year. It's an even weight on. And we have Verifying that just got loose and ran off, and hopefully when they got him back to the barn, everything was good, and they didn't have to do nothing, you know, to his feet or to his shoes. Now, because that would be devastating to do, you know, just the day before the Derby or 2 days before the Derby. It was interesting. So I'm sitting up there. I'm starting to look at, like, who didn't have a horse get loose. You know, that's what I'm looking at. I said, man, we got to find out who this is. So I never did find out because their colors on their uniforms were not very good. And we didn't have a saddle towel on them when they went out. Or an eye on the saddle towel, I should say. We got Skinner. He's coming in. A practical move. He might be coming in. Let's see here. Disarm. This is a horse right here. He's the 11th horse in the 11th style on the 11th side of the track. All 11. So that could be him. That could be him. So, you know, I tell you, I just don't see this thing setting up very well from, like, King Russell or Madge. Everybody get real high on Madge there. And I said, I don't know who that is. You know, in there with them. But that's, you know, I tell you, all year long, we get down to this point, we're trying to say, well, you know, we know this. He worked on this day. This one was in California. This one in Florida. You really don't know who's going to win tomorrow. I'm telling you, you don't know. And, if anybody could come in and say, you know, I can tell you who's going to win tomorrow, I'd like to meet that person. Because if they really did know who was going to win what races, they'd be filthy rich, and they would be writing a book and telling everybody about it. But I haven't seen no real rich people. I haven't seen no anybody with a lot of money in their pocket saying, "Hey, I just went to the track." But that's the gambling aspect of it supports all of this what we do here, and to give a good barometer on what's going on next year. In the horse industry, especially the thoroughbred industry that you're looking at. We've got a gun runner colt that sold for $2.2 million at the OVS track. And one of the girls told me something was really funny. I mean, I just laughed at it. Okay, let's see here. Coming up, got the Gunrunner colt. Sells for $2.2 million. Now, this is a good indicator, and I'm having a hard time seeing this on my computer. I'm getting some glitches going on here. But the Gunrunner colt sells for $2.2 million at the OBS spring sales. And this is a good indicator of what, you know, the season is going to be coming up like. It's going to be interesting. And the sales were very good this year, very, very good. I was surprised. Brought a $2.2 million, price on him. And it shows that there's money out there, that there's good quality horses out there. And so I was interested in going to that sale, but I couldn't make it up there. And everything, we've got a lot of things going on here at the farm. We've got an Intermischief colt. He sells for $1.3 million on day four at OBS. And so now you're starting to see a lot of these horses, being sold. And these are horses that could potentially, be on the road to the Derby. I've never seen the market be as strong as it is right now, you know, for people to get in, especially, you know, when you get to these in-training sales and everything. So I was really surprised, you know, see how low sales went. But the Derby is really good. You know, there's going to be some good racing. There's some good racing on TV today. If you go to the website, we have America's Day at the Races, and they got a lot of TV and Derby programs on there, Kentucky Oaks programs that are on there. The weather's beautiful. Everybody's doing really good with what they want to do. You know, the post position draw that we had last week was really good. And you know, I'm not really big on post positions, especially at a mile and a quarter. I'm not very big on that at all, because there's so many things that can happen. There's so many places they can go and everything. But all in all, you know, if you go by what's been done in the past, you know, that plays a lot in it. But, you know, historically, this is just me. But historically, I've never watched and you know, let post position, you know, sway me one way or the other. And the reason I say that is, especially like in the Kentucky Derby, for example, it's a mile and a quarter. Anything can happen. You can have horses bumping into each other. You can have a speed horse go out. For example, when you're Winning Colors, when she won the Kentucky Derby, she went as far as she could, for as long as she could, as fast as she could. And she jumps out of that gate, and she's just gone. And people are wondering, hey, you know, look at her. She'll die off. She, you know, she'll stop running. Well, she didn't. And, man, all of a sudden at the 3A school, these guys are saying, oh, man, did we mess up? You know, we should have been chasing her closer, you know, all the way through the race. But she hung on and she wins, you know. So that's one of the ways to play. But, you know, they're large fields. You can get a lot of bumping and you can get a lot of speed. You can get a lot of horses coming from off the pace, you know, coming from way behind. Like Forte then, you know, in the Florida Derby. He came out in the center of the track and just really made a run at it. But, you know, what can you do? Hey, Hit Show has got the number one post. He's going to have to really hit it and get it, you know, from that one post, because that's tough. Verifying, which is a nice horse for Bray Cox, he got the number two hole. And then Two Fills could be a favorite maybe, or a co-favorite. But, you know, he's ready to go, and he's coming out of post position number three. Confidence Game is a good middle pack runner. Tappa Trice likes to come from off the pace. He's in six, which is really good. So I like that. And then there's a horse called Mage, M-A-G-E. Mage has been doing very well, but I needed a lot of schooling. You know, I think that's one of the things that they had to do. Is get that horse schooled a lot. And the way the weather's been and the way the track's been, it's been hard to get a horse schooled pretty good in there. So I tell you, I'm just keep looking at this. Good trainers, good jockeys, good everything. But Forte's got his position out in 15. We have Rocket Can is out in 18. Lord Miles scratched out, and Contour from Japan. He's got a good outside shot. If Cyclone Mischief gets in, that's going to be a real good post for them out there in 20. And then Kings Russell, he'll be way out there too. So that could be good. But all in all, what we're trying to say is that there's so many things that go into the Kentucky Derby that you just don't even think about. You got to think, you know, did the horse travel well over the season, you know, from track to track and then back up to Kentucky? You know, like the horses that came out of Palm Beach Channels with just a few days ago, you know, to get up there for the Derby, they left 80 and 90 degree weather And now they're up there in 70 and 55 degree weather. And so that affects them because they feel good, you know, when they get out and get out of that 90 degree heat and it goes good. So, you know, what can you say? But there's just so doggone many things in the Derby that go along like here, you know, having trouble a little bit with my computer, you know, and we got service that's coming and going. You know, you might get out to the racetrack and, you know, you might have a few good days of racing and then, you know, some bad rainy weather. And in that rainy weather, you might end up having, you know, cold weather or cold rain, you know, a hot rain. There's just so many things that, you know, can happen, you know, in the Derby. And I just don't understand why people said, oh, well, you know, it's raining, my horse not going to run good. Hey, we don't know until they get, you know, really get down to it. And that's the whole plan there, to figure it out. So what I'll do is I'll get up in the morning, and usually what I'll do on Derby Day is I'll take a handful of pennies or nickels, and I put them in my left hand, and I just drop them on the table. And depending on, you know, what they come up, you just kind of go from there. I put, you know, heads in there, tails, and then just go for it. So it's kind of interesting to do that. The first penny I pick up, if it's a heads, then that's my winner. Second penny I pick up, if it's a heads, that's my second place horse. And so forth and so on. So it's going to be interesting to see. But right now here, we've got back on the IENTV.org. We've got America's Days. It's races are going across the country at different racetracks and highlighting a lot of the racing at Churchill Downs. There we have the history of the Run for the Roses there. And then the one thing that we did this morning, and I think you really will like, is called the Backside Tour at Churchill Downs. They've got a gentleman that goes around and he talks all about Churchill and what all is going on there. And that's really a nice tour to see. Then we have the making of the garland and the roses in one segment on our website. It's really really nice piece to watch there to see how they do the garland and the blanket of roses for them there. And then the one thing that I tried to do, and I got quite a few people that really liked what I was doing with it. And how they get there. We did, you know, the owner, the trainer, the jockey, you know, the whole nine yards, kind of giving an inside look at what you have to do to get to the Kentucky Derby. But just for the people that want to look, that are really serious about the Derby tomorrow, that are really going to make a serious bet for the Derby, what I did is I went through and I highlighted a few of the top races that really define who the horses are that running in the Derby. For example, we got like the Wood Memorial. That was ran on April the 8th at Aqueduct, and the horse that come out of that, really good. We got the Fairgrounds that was run on March 25th at the Fairgrounds Louisiana Derby. 1st of April, we had the Florida Derby on there. Then at Keeneland, we had the Bluegrass Stakes that was there. We had Oakland, we had the Arkansas Derby, the Santa Anita Derby from California, and the Tampa Bay Downs Derby. And what I did that for, and the reason I did that, is you can go back and you can look at the horse's last race and see how they finished. And then you can make your decision there if you think that that horse might be able to win the Kentucky Derby. You can go back and you can read all you want in the racing form, how the race went, you know, how everybody did. You can do that, but it's better to see it on, you know, video or see it in person. And one thing I can tell you for sure in the horse business, no matter what breed you have, the eye don't lie. The old timers say the eye don't lie. All you got to do is look at the horse, see where they're at, how they're being taken care of, and where they're going. The eye don't lie. And so that's why we did you know, those different stake races, because that's going to give you an exact eyeful of how they ran that last race. It's not hearsay. It's something that you could actually see. So watch the Derby tomorrow. Watch the Oaks this afternoon. You can turn on, it's on USA Network. It's on NBC. And you can see it here on International Equine Network on INTV.org. So go ahead and have a great afternoon, Kentucky Oaks afternoon, and have even a better Kentucky Derby tomorrow on Saturday. So thanks for joining us, and this is Scott Miller at the International Equine Network.